Greetings and blessings to you in Jesus' name. Hope all is well. We have our space that we like. How about that time when you're on the elevator and it's full and everyone is so close together, shoulder to shoulder? Do you feel crowded? You know, we decide who can and can't enter that quote-unquote space that we have. There are people out in the world today who get overwhelmed when they feel that their space is crowded. The word crowded in the dictionary says filled with many or too many people or things. Our feel for this week is titled, "It's Crowded in Here." As we go along, keep in mind the words too many. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 for our teaching. Verse 1 reads, "Now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Verse 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, or according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." Now, although Samuel was displeased, children of God, he did not take matters into his own hands. He didn't react based off of something he was displeased with. No, it says he prayed to the Lord. We got to be careful. If we don't seek the Lord and pray on things that displease us, we can very easily react through our flesh and say something that may come back and bite us. But Samuel, the man of God, does exactly what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us. You know, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. What Samuel did, that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 looks like. That's what it looks like when you follow the scripture. So the Lord tells him to heed the voice of the people. Samuel, again, was displeased with what they said. But the Lord said they didn't reject Samuel, but the Lord himself. So after Samuel was told the truth on who was rejected, how could Samuel come to any other conclusion that they rejected him? But he never said that. But that's what we do when people say things against us. They say things against God. They're rejecting God, not you. They're rejecting the word, not you. You see, so when the Lord says it's me and not you, then that's exactly what it is. Don't allow an ego or anyone, for that matter, to say anything different. Samuel could have been in his feelings and not sought after the Lord, but he didn't. Be careful, children of God. Be careful of the feelings and emotions, because they speak a different language than the Lord. Amen? The Lord sees and knows all. This is what he said about his chosen people. "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Now, can you imagine that? This is his chosen people. and they rejected him from reigning over them. He said, they have forsaken me and served other gods. Youch. Youch. It's crowded in here. There can't be two kings over the people. Too many kings. And they don't want the Lord as king to rule over them. Although he is the one who saved them and brought them out of bondage, they want someone else. We read here the mistake that the people are going to make. For the Lord said to Samuel, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. You see, the people don't know what they are asking for, but they think they do. Remember Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We think we know, and we really don't know. It sounds good, it looks good, it feels good, but we really don't know, do we? No, we don't know. We think we know what's best, but we really don't. Only Father God does. Their will was to have a king judge them like all other nations. Well, there's the issue. There's a problem. They weren't like other nations. They had the Lord God over them. They had the Lord God for them. But they wanted to be like all the other nations. Kind of almost sounds like some ministries out there. They want to be like the world. They look just like the world. They sound just like the world. But they have the name Jesus on their church building. But inside, it looks just like the world. How can that be? You see, the Lord is different. He runs his kingdom different than man does. We are not to be like others, but to represent Jesus according to the word of God, because he is the word that became flesh. That's in John 1:14. It will get crowded with the ways of Jesus and the ways of man within us. Who will, and what will we allow in that quote unquote space? Jesus or man? Just look at the grace and mercy of the Lord, warning them of the king to be. He warns them of how it will be. So let's pick back up in verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Woo, Lord Jesus. Children of God, can I confess to you, of all the things mentioned above, verse 18 is the scariest to me of all. It says, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now it's bad enough all the stuff's being taken from him, and that he's going to have him doing things. but to have the Lord not hear you? Oh. So let me get this right. So you know and understand ahead of time that the Lord will not hear from you in that day, and you still agreed to those terms? Children of God, with all the evil going on now in today's world, can you imagine? Can you imagine when you cry and the Lord not hearing you in that day because of the choice to go, the choice of that you made to go against him? Yikes! The Lord said how it will go down, not how it might go down. He knows everything. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." Wow. You see, when it's crowded in here, room will be made. Things are going to be moved. Too many things. Jesus told us that you cannot serve two masters, for you will love one and despise the other. The people of Israel are removing the Lord as king, as judge, and protector over them. A choice they willingly made after knowing what will come to pass for choosing a king other than God, in a warning from the Lord. It's crowded in here. Something has to go. They said, "We want to be like other nations." So they say, "Let's remove the Lord and bring on the man king." How does that sound when you say such a thing? I'm going to say that again. "Let's remove the Lord and bring on the man king." That just sounds terrible. But that's what they did. That's what they did. And the Lord said, "Heed their voice and make them a king." The Lord knew how it was going to go down. The Lord wanted the best for his chosen people. But you know what else the Lord knew? He knew it would get crowded in there. It's crowded in here. He knew it. The Lord God bows to no one or nothing. I'll say it again. The Lord God bows to no one or nothing. He did give us a will that we make choices with. In the Word of God, there are countless times when the will and choice of man did not line up with the Lord and his will. One thing that's consistent and noticeable with all of these things in the Word of God are what? The consequences that follow disobedience and defiance to the Lord God. They were given a warning by the Lord ahead of time, and they chose by their own will to move the Lord out. The question is why? The answer is, it's crowded in here. Too many kings. There's only room for one king. And the people chose man over God. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. How can you expect that it will be well with you when the one who knows everything and loves you has been kicked out by you? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is the one true God that still sits on the throne. Amen. Children of God, it's crowded in here because the world says you can do both. The world says you can serve God and man, but Jesus said we can't. Something has to go. It's crowded in here. Spring clean the worldly ways with the Word of God. Get rid of the sluggish baggage of bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, covetousness, and all the things that hinder you from the call of the Lord. Be in agreement and obedience with the Lord so that it will be well with you. Will you go with me down memory lane? Come with me down memory lane. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Give you a second to get there. Okay, 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, children of God, Cain and Abel both brought an offering to the Lord. As we read, it says the Lord respected Abel's and didn't respect Cain's. The Lord respected Abel's and didn't respect Cain's. You know, the Lord speaks to his people on giving these unblemished animals, the offerings. You can check that in Leviticus. But he talks about don't bring those blemished things in here. Now, the Lord God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Verse 7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well, will you not be accepted? You see, there's a standard that the Lord has, and he does not lower. He does not, I repeat, the Lord will not lower his standard so that we can feel good. He says, here's the standard. You can achieve it. Cain just needed to do well by the standard set by the Lord. How is it that the Lord knows what he wants, but man says, nah, you'll take what I give you? You see, man says, these are your standards, Lord. And man just makes it as he goes along. He makes it up as he goes along. The Lord says, no, these are my standards. And you can achieve them with my help and guidance. I will not lower my standards. That's why just not anybody can just get into heaven. You have to believe in Jesus to get there. If you don't, then you don't go. Real simple. That's according to the word of God. It's not based off of what you're dressing, what your last name is, how much money you make. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God or you don't. Now, it's crowded in here. Ooh, it's crowded in here. There are now too many ways to do it. There's God's way and all the other ways. A choice is made. A choice is made that goes against the will of God, which introduces disobedience. Cain was warned that something called sin was where? Lying at the door. What did sin want to do? It had a desire for Cain. The Lord told him what was outside the door waiting for him. But the Lord said, you should rule over it. And as we read on, we know Cain ended up killing his brother. How? And why did he do such a thing? Well, he disobeyed the Lord, and his brother's life was taken by him. Cain was told, Cain was warned, but he chose not to heed the word of the Lord. The Lord warned him, something's out there desiring to get you. do well. You see, because God has a standard. He doesn't lower his standards. He keeps them where they're at. He will help us achieve it. He will help us get there. But you can't just do like Cain and say, oh, well, this is my standard, so it's your standard, Lord. No, it doesn't work that way. Ooh, it's crowded in here. Cain got rid of the word from the Lord and went with his own method. Don't be deceived. You cannot serve two masters. There's people all over the world that have overcrowding going on within, and they believe that they can serve God and the world. It's not possible. No matter how someone dresses it up to sound good or quote unquote politically correct, Jesus is clear. Jesus is very clear, and he says in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Children of God, don't be fooled by man and his eloquent words or his PhDs and doctorates, reverend bishops, prophets, prophetess. Don't be fooled by the eloquent words. Don't be fooled by the feel-good words. God gave us discernment. Look, red is red and blue is blue. So when Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad, do not allow man or woman to say anything different than what Jesus says. You know what the word of God says. Do not be deceived by these false teachers and speakers. Test the spirit with the spirit. Are they saying what Jesus said? Or are they saying what they think Jesus may be saying? Oh my goodness. It's crowded in here. It's crowded in here. Yes, it's crowded. It's too many voices and too many choices. But you got to kick out the voices and choices that are not of God. Jesus said the truth shall set you free. Whose truth, man's or the word of God? Either you choose Jesus and his truth, or you choose man and his truth. Are you with Jesus or against him? There is no middle ground. And we find that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Let's read. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. Excuse me, you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see what Jesus says about that? There's no middle ground. It's hot or cold. Don't allow this man-made religion. You hear me? I'll say it again. Don't allow man-made religion to say there's a middle ground that you can walk on. You're going to get yourself in trouble. We just read what the word of God said from the voice of the King of Kings. He said hot or cold. Hot water comes from what? The hot handle when you turn it on. Cold water comes from what? The cold handle when you turn it on. Turn them both on. You mix it. What do you get? Warm water. Ooh, now it's crowded in here. I have what Jesus said to do, and I have what others say to do. The choice must be made by you. Who will you choose to listen to? Jesus or all others? If there's a questionable decision, and you're like, I just don't know, I'm not sure. Ask yourself for a second. Ask yourself this question. Am I with Jesus on this? Or am I against Jesus on this? Jesus, am I with you on this subject or am I against you? Hey, do you guys recall, I remember I was younger, but it might have been the 80s or something. Do you recall the WWJD movement? Do you guys remember? Some of you might be too young, but it was, what would Jesus do? They had the little bracelets. They had the bumper stickers, you know, and it was a whole religious thing of WWJD. And I remember the people who WWJD movement. What would Jesus do? You remember that trash? Yes. I just call it trash. You know why? Look why it's 100% wrong. What's 100% wrong with that statement? Well, look at it. It says, what would someone do? What would you do? That's leaving it to what? For you to guess what they're going to do. So if you're going to guess what someone's going to do, it comes out to how you see it. And then you say, well, that's how Jesus is going to see it because I see it that way. No, that's not how this works. Remember, he is very clear. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. My ways in the heavens are much higher than yours. So that whole WWJD, what would Jesus do? You're making a guess on what you think Jesus would do. No, you just go to the word and say, this is what Jesus did, and then that's what you do. You know what? Let's just go to the word on this. Leviticus, I'm getting excited. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. But the world says different. The world says it's okay for a man to be with a man. A man can marry a man. A woman can marry a woman. You know the sad thing, children of God, the sad thing, there are even preachers out there saying that it's okay to do this. It's not. It is not okay. This is not Pastor Tyron's word, but this is the Lord's word. I'm just repeating it. Leviticus 18:22 right there says it. You shall not lie with the male as with the woman. It is an abomination. So don't say, well, let me think what Jesus would do. You're reading what his word says. Say what he says. How about this one? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Ooh. See, God, not Pastor Tyron, created them male and female. But they say today there are many genders. Oh, my goodness. It's crowded in here. Who are you going to repeat, God or man? Who will you stand with, God or man? Don't forget what Jesus said. He who is not with me is against me. So if you agree in the same-sex marriage, you are against God according to the word of God. You can dress it up. You can button it up. You can make it sound as good as you want. But you know what? The word of God says, he who is not with me. So if you don't agree with Jesus, you are against him on that. It's right there in his word. You see, when you know what Jesus said, there's no room for guessing what he might say. Say what he says. Let us continue in truth. There are countless times that the religious leaders in Jesus' time had it out for him. They wanted to silence him. They plotted numerous occasions to kill him. But they didn't prevail. They never succeeded, did they? No, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for us. He lets him know, oh, you can't take this down. I lay it down because my Father said I can pick it up again. Remember he said, you don't think I can't pray to my Father and get all these legions of angels to come down here? You can't kill God. Jesus spoke on behalf of his Father. He spoke on behalf of his Father. Remember in John chapter 4, verse 34, when Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. whose will? Whose work? Do not be misled because someone says WWJD. No, tell them plainly, WDJD. What did Jesus do? I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Tell them what he did. Tell them what he did. Follow the example of King Jesus. We have a choice. Let us close with a mindset to have that Holy Spirit shared with me. And this is what he told me. He said, it's better for their feelings. It's better for their feelings to be hurt than their soul to be lost forever. It's better their feelings be hurt than their soul lost forever. And I got that from the Holy Spirit. Amen. When it's crowded in here, I pray you kick out the things that are not of God, that the Lord will give you boldness to conquer fear, ridicule, and persecution, and the likes thereof. I pray that you win the battle within yourself to walk according to the word of God, and that you will not miss your destiny from the Lord God that he has set before you, that he has for you. May you get all that the Lord God has for you from Almighty God. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Pastor Tyron, signing off.